Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, world? This is your boy Hot Tracks, and you listening to Can a Player Play with Pretty Tony, Joy LaShawn, and your boy K Diddy on Blog Talk Radio.
Hands up in the air. I just want the
baddest bitch
in the world right here on my lap. And I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma hit this ass up like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it at
in this motherfucker. I'ma need the baddest raw to twerk off in this motherfucker. I'ma go hard until it hurts off in this motherfucker. I'm a boss, so you gotta work off in this motherfucker. And I could get you anything you want. I could put you on. See, you look like Beyonce, so do it like Beyonce. Do it like Beyonce and put it on. Sean, grind hard, but got a lot to show for it. Always had drive like I had to show for it. My team's so true, we should get a camera crew. Follow us around and make the show fun.
I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma hit this ass up like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it at. Like I never had it at.
I'ma spend this cash up like it's my last. And I'ma make it last like it's my last. And I'm gone. Can't remember where I am, but she forget about her man. When they tell her who I am and they introduce my fam, now she all up in my face. All up in my face like you remember who I am. Since I signed the con, I'm Louis Vuitton shine. Up in Benihana, eating all the wonton. Rose, rose over little shine down. Put her hands down my pants, now she rockin' Shine John. Man, I just ended up on everybody's guest list. I'm just doing better than what everyone projected. I knew that I'd be here, so if you ask me how I feel, I'ma just tell you it's everything that I expected, bitch.
Hands up in the air.
One time for the west side, let me see them
hands up in the air.
Two times if you love good music.
Hands up in the air, yeah.
And three times for the baddest chick in the world who got a
hands up in the air,
yeah.
Now I'ma hit this drink up, yeah.
Ballin' on a budget. Me and my people do it big out in public. Cause if you don't do it big, bitch, you ain't doing nothing.
I'ma hit this drink up like it's my last. I'ma hit this night up like it's my last. I'ma hit this ass up like it's my last. I swear I'ma do it like I never had it at.
Indeed, welcome to the show. Can a player play is in the building. Your boy Pretty Tone right here with you. You know, along with the man always riding shotgun, scooted down in the back seat, scoping everything out, because, you know, we just don't trust nobody rolling too close to the bumper. K. Dizzle Esquire.
We
Yo, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Glad y'all could join us once again right here on Can a Player Play.
Yes, indeed. This week's show is called Playing the Blame Game Part 2. Last week we kind of touched on it, and a young lady called in and kicked it off as she was talking about Garveyism and such. And this week we're going to go in depth a little bit more as we discuss us, you know what I mean? Us, the Chocolate City folks, us, the minorities, you know, just us in general. But first, before we get into that, I want to say a big, big shout out to the LA Black Book Expo that went down yesterday at the LA Convention Center. It was a beautiful thing. My man Kate Dizzle was out there with the World Movement Publishing family. Tell the good folks about the experience, sir.
Oh, it was always a great experience to see, I'm not going to say just black people, but let's say the minorities out there. There's a lot of wonderful authors out there trying to spread the education awareness and, you know, trying to do the each one teach one thing. There's some people out there that was really trying to implement that type of thing amongst us, you know, all of us talk about it, but there's some people really out there trying to make it happen. So it's always good to see people coming together to try to uplift education and, you know, provide, you know, avenues of the betterment of us, the urban folks.
Right on, yeah. Man, you know what I mean? We represent urban dwellers to the fullest. So once again, we want to give mad love out to the L.A. Black Book Expo and out there doing a thing, you know what I mean? If the family met you, we got mad love for you, hope to network with you in the future. And we're going to keep it moving.
So
I want to thank everybody that's tuning in, everybody who checks the archives out, everybody that rolls with us, man. We try to use this little podium we got in this moment to do some good things, to do positive things, and try to stay away from as much negativity as we can, you know what I mean? So once again, Playing the Blame Game Part 2, schools are overcrowded, programs to help families are being canceled, incarceration numbers are growing, exploding, hopelessness is growing. These are trying times, and we're talking about the blame, and we want to talk about a little bit of the solution. And last week we kind of got into it, and the young lady, once I said, mentioned Garveyism, and I hope she calls back in today, because I have my opinions on Garveyism and everything of that nature, the Pan-African movement.
Oh.
I think
you ready? You ready for it? You ready for it today, huh?
A little bit. These are things that I tend to ponder a great deal as I'm growing as a man, as I'm growing as a father, as I'm growing as a black man. I'm looking over the overall scope. And that's what this whole playology movement is about. I'm trying to encourage my brothers to expand the scope of their vision, to expand the scope of their knowledge so that they can see what's going on really out on the playing field, because certain blinders have been placed upon us where we can't see the whole playing field sometimes, and that is severely affecting our growth as individuals. It's affecting the growth of our future generations. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what we're talking about a little bit today. I see my man joining. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you. My folks out there on Twitter, I'm going to check in with y'all in a minute. But that's what we're talking about today. And going back to the young lady's comment about Garveyism, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, do not limit your children learning to your own because they are of a different time. In saying that, I'm not knocking Garveyism because, like I said, it has certain key points in there that are relevant even after all this time, that is still relevant to the black man after all this time. But you also have to understand that by our assimilation, integration has grown, and there are a lot of biracial children. There are a lot of interracial relationships now that have exploded maybe 10,000% since the times of Mr. Garvey. And so, you know, we have to take these things into account as we sit and contemplate where we're going as a people, because we're no longer, you know, there's the national motto of Jamaica is out of many, one people. It's the Garvin's land and my own, of course, my ancestral home. And that's a very relevant topic, because out of many, we are one nation. The black nation is no longer just a chocolate city. It's also an integrated vanilla-ish city. It's an integrated Asian-ish city. We have, you know, brought a lot more flavor to what we consider our race to be. But even in doing that, our growth has been impeded. Now, there are those who will shout out and say, well, it's the system of... I wholeheartedly agree that the system has put certain obstacles in our path to encourage us to fail and discourage us to achieve. But at the same time, we have become willing participants at times in the underdevelopment of ourselves as a race. There are things that are put upon us that we allow, and then there are things that that are out of control. I want to make a case in point. Down there in North Carolina, a lot of people, because we're so caught up with our own individual survival, which is a matter of divide and conquer, are not taking notice that they're trying to segregate schools down in North Carolina again. And there are a couple other states that are quietly trying to segregate schools again.
Question, because I have a question right there, because there's a lot of opinions out there right now that don't feel like that's a bad thing.
Absolutely. Let's discuss that. Go ahead.
Because there's a lot of people that's in the country feel like we had black educators. You know, we had black schools that taught black students black history. And once it was desegregated, we lost our better teachers, because the better teachers went where? They went to teach the white kids, because, of course, they could afford to pay them, and they were better jobs, so they had the black kids left stuck again. So that's not necessarily a black thing. You're going to get, get strong arguments both ways. So, you know, it all depends on which side you're on. I guess if you're a Republican, you're going to go one way, and if you're a Democrat, you're going to go another way. But then if you're a black educator and you're really paying attention to what's going on, and you're looking around and you see that our kids really don't know where they came from, and a lot of them don't even know where they are, so you already know they don't know where they're going.
Hmm.
That's the problem.
So where do you stand on this topic, my dear Mr. K. Dizzle?
I'm for the balance. I feel like the balance, of course, by me being a black man and coming up in the era that I came up in, I can totally relate to the fact that I wasn't taught anything about black history. I didn't even know anything about the contributions that we made to society till I was out of high school. And how deep is that? I was out of high school before I knew any of that, and that was by my own research, by my own inquiries, wanting to know different things. And when I find that I enjoy certain things like popcorn, I'm like, well, where did this come from? You know, you got all these different flavors. Well, who thought of this one? You know what I mean?
Well,
I started
talking to that, Mr. K. Diddy.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I thought Orville Redenbacher enjoyed that. The white man with the glass bowl.
No. That's like saying that Orville Redenbacher invented water or invented air. You know, that's just another misconception. You know what I'm saying? Certain things they didn't invent, but they claimed. I mean, it's easy to claim when the people that really did it didn't know how to read or write.
Okay. So we're talking about, you know, we're going to start off with that part, because that's a part of the political landscape right now. Is segregation of school a bad thing? Is it? Because
I personally think it could be a good thing, because, like I said, a lot of people need to wake up. and see really what time it is, because if they really knew what time it was, they would have a whole different plan, a whole different understanding. They would have a whole different knowledge level, even about everything that we were denied the ability to do for many years, the fact that we didn't have certain civil rights. We couldn't vote. We couldn't do all those things, you know what I mean? So if they really, really took heed to that and seen what was going on and see as a people how far that we are behind as a people, they would get it together.
Okay, now, and that is your point of view that, and that's how we're going to start off today's political discussion. So your point of view is that the segregation of schools may not be a bad thing, right? Because that
Absolutely.
Gives us a chance as to further educate the upcoming generations as to who we are as a people.
Other than that, our culture
right?
would totally be lost. Our culture would be totally be lost if that should happen, not happen, should I say.
Now, I have to put this question to you because I'm going to talk about that first, and then I'm going to get into my point of view. Now, are you saying that Latino children should go to Latino schools, black kids should go to black schools, and white kids should go to white schools, right?
What I'm saying
Asian
is
Asian kids should go to Asian schools, because that's what it's going to come down to eventually.
Okay, okay.
We're
well,
going
let
to
me
start
give you this
at one point.
Okay, let me answer your question. I feel like in every child's formative years, they should be thoroughly entrenched in their culture. Then at some point, whether it's the junior high school level, then they should be introduced to the world. But I think they should
okay.
know themselves first, their families first. No, I'm all about the balance, because this is a world that's comprised of everybody, all cultures, all nationality. I'm all with that. I understand that. You know what I mean? But I don't think at the cost of learning everything else, you should forget your own. And I think each own, the Asians, the Mexican-Americans, you know, whomever, the Filipinos, they should learn their own stuff first. And some of those people that I just mentioned, they do learn their stuff first. So this ain't new to them. They know their culture. They know who their forefathers are.
Okay. All right. Now, as you have established that fact, and in theory, as with everything that we're discussing on this show, it's all theory. In that theory, it sounds wonderful. Not even wonderful. It sounds very progressive, that trend of thought, that in the formative years, like, you know, the kindergarten years and stuff, you allow the child to identify with that which it's from, and then you bring it in to the child into the world to further study other stuff. And that's a very progressive theory.
But isn't that like life? Don't you crawl before you walk? That's the problem with our world or what we're living in right now. We have a tendency to overwhelm people with things that they're not ready to embrace yet.
Okay. I'm still going to roll with you. And that is the last part of your statement is a very correct statement. Now, here is my point of view on this matter. So what happens to the child who doesn't exclusively fit into any one of those categories because they are of a biracial mix? They are from an interracial family. Where does this child go? Because in that progressive theory, that still comes with side effects. And also, let's be realistic. Even if we were to say, yes, we should do that progressively so that the child can understand where it's from, so that it knows where it's going, there's one flaw in that theory as I see it. At the top of the decision-making skills, it is not going to be us making those decisions. It is going to be the traditional good old boys who continue to make the decisions for us, making these decisions to say, okay, child goes over there, child goes over there, child goes over there. And then to bring the child into something that it's unaccustomed to and say, okay, when we get to this point, let's now integrate them, the child may not take to that very kindly because it's not used to suddenly, boom, oh, what are all these other races doing up in here? And those at the top are going to ensure that correct funding, the correct tools are going to go to the race that dominates the political landscape of this country.
I've always said since the beginning, and since we started the show 2-3 years back, he who creates the game create the rules. I've always said that. So that goes to what you're saying about the good old boys, okay, understanding that. We know that. But if you can't control the game, the next possible thing that you could do is be all that you could be within that game. You know what I mean? What else are you going to do? Or we could also go back to, we can take the revolutionary theory, and we know how that's going to work out, because right now we know all of us ain't going to band together for that either. So then that takes you back to square one. If you can't control the game, then you might as well be all that you could be within that game. Do you agree with that?
Oh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, hold on. I think we got a caller here. Calling in 111. You're on live. Welcome to the show.
Who's the caller? I don't see any caller. Who's the caller?
Hey, my man, Joe.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Diddy. What's up?
What's up, mister? How you doing?
Not bad, not bad.
Well, as always, welcome. Glad to have you. And we know that you got some hot stuff to add to this conversation.
Yeah, well, I'm taking a look at the description. Man, schools overcrowded, programs to help families being canceled, incarceration numbers exploding, etc. So you're talking about my bailiwick, huh? Ah, politics. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. We're expanding the scope a little bit. Expand, because I want to ensure one of my goals, and I'm going to let you talk, Joe, because trust me, we enjoy when you come and bring your input to the show. One of the goals is I want to ensure that this podium that we have in this moment is putting something of substance out there at all times pertaining to all of us out here in this world, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't pigeonhole your boy. Your boy trying to spread it out. You understand?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I recommend everybody going out.
So you know the gist of what we're talking about. So let's hear your input.
Well, I was listening to Diddy when he was talking about everybody should be inculcated with their own culture for a while. I guess you didn't mention any type of level of school. I don't know if you wanted to stop it at third grade, fourth grade.
No, I did say it at junior high school level.
Oh, junior
so
high.
That meant the elementary school. All the elementary school, they beginning years, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think kindergarten, elementary, you know, they should be learning who they are, you know, their history, their culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm for it if it doesn't interfere with being an American. Right now we've got Mexicans who want to stay Mexican, blacks who want to stay blacks, Italians who want to stay Italians, Irish who want to stay Irish, and I'm all for people actually becoming American so that when they see other people who are different, they just say, oh, okay, the only difference is slanty eyes or different color skin. But at the same time, I think people should be aware of their ancestry, but I don't think it should be something which people should be pointing at and saying, well, I'm a this and I'm a that, because that, to me, creates divisiveness. And then
right.
Tony had a good point, too. I mean, if the government steps in, then it's going to say, okay, this child goes over there, this child goes over there. And then we have the problem again, the government. You know, I think parents should leave it up to themselves to teach their kids where they came from and let them just mix whenever. And I'm all for segregation, too. I'm all for segregation, and I'm all for integration if it's voluntary. If the government has to come in and say, these particular classes have to be together, or these particular classes of people have to stay apart, I'm not for it.
Somebody must have their speaker on or something, because I hear an echo.
Yeah, I hear an echo, too. Not me.
Well, that is my fault, gentlemen. I did have the speaker on because I wanted to hear Joe clearly, because, you know, I have convinced myself that radiation is kicking me out. But don't worry. Your boy ain't going completely cuckoo yet.
Well, basically, from what I understand, Joe, we concur on pretty much everything. I'm all about Americans being Americans, but it's kind of hard to be an American and still you don't know who you are. So I'm kind of with that. Actually, we did. We agreed on everything. You just said it a little bit different than I, but that was my point. You know, I just think that a lot of us really don't know the basics, so we kind of like flounder and flip and flop all through life trying to adapt and fit in the situations when, hey, man, that's not even, some things ain't even for you to try to fit into. Why? You know what I mean? There's a lot of times people are emulating you, and you running around trying to be like them.
Yeah. But how about, you know what I think about this particular, I guess you might want to call it strength of ancestry, is that, let's say, for example, some guy says, you know, he's got a black boss, and the guy says, well, my ancestry came from England. I am related to the queen. And some other guy says, well, my ancestry is related to the king of Norway. And the black guy says, well, that's nice, fellas, but make sure you mop and sweep up before you put the lights out, right? So the thing is that it doesn't matter where you come from. It's where you are today. So anybody can claim, you know, I'm related to this and that. But if they're poor or if they don't have influence, who cares?
Well, true, Joe. But would you agree that that still not negate the fact that if you're from the ancestry of the queen, that's just who the hell you are? I'm talking about being factual. It does matter where you come from, and it also matters where you are, and it definitely matters where you're going. But if you come from that lineage, that's who you come from. If you, yeah, you know, I'm just saying that just is what it is.
Well, sure, but that promotes snobbery.
Well, again, you're going to have that anyway from the weaker-minded people. So, again, are you going to deny who you are because you're afraid somebody else is going to dislike you?
No, you don't deny it, but you just say, look, okay, you want to be from the King of Norway or from the Queen of England, that's cool, but make sure you mop up before you turn the lights out. Meaning
and
I'm the boy.
And they'll say, okay, I'll do that because that's their
yeah.
station. That's their station in life right now. And if they don't want to deal with that, they need to step their game up.
Yeah.
Now, going back to this whole thing that KDD is discussing about the identity, I will agree on this whole thing. As Joe said, you know, everybody identified one thing, and if you don't have an identity, you flip-flop. But a lot of times, you know, if we go back and we examine why there is no identity, we also understand why so many people are being locked away at such a rampant rate. Because if you talk to most people, they have no idea whether they're black, they're white, Hispanic, they're Asian. Hey, Diddy has a sense saying something about ignorant. They don't even know they're ignorant. Something he always says. That you can't expect them to know something if they that all they know is ignorance. Ain't that what you say, brother?
Ignorance is bliss.
There you go. Ignorance is bliss. That's the easiest way to say it. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons we have so many people being put away, you know, some people are naturally, you know, problematic to society. But there are another set of people who their environment around them didn't present them with much. And if we keep stripping that away, how do you expect somebody who grew up in dysfunction to be functional? Now, there may be a few exceptions to the rule who use that dysfunction as the fuel for their fire to change themselves or move away from the dysfunction. But, you know, the numbers are heavily in favor of them not identifying the dysfunction and just flourishing in it, thinking that's just the way life is. You know, we're snatching out programs that help development. We're snatching out programs that help people get to where they need to be. And with all the things that we're snatching and slashing on the backs of the have-nots, the end result is that we're still not getting to the point where we need to be. We're still not, you know, so this is, I guess this is one of the areas where I agree with Joe about the influence of the federal government and its incompetent, how incompetent it is at times. Well, matter of fact, let's take the at times out of it, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point did people start really thinking that this government was really concerned about the lower income individuals or the individuals that are on the lower income side? Because they look at it like these people aren't really contributing a whole lot to the society anyway. So far as they're concerned, they can go up in the hills and die. And this country's been known for that type of mentality. When you no longer have a usefulness, or if they feel like you're not contributing up to par, they have no need for you. So why wouldn't they cut out the programs and redirect that money to something that they would rather spend it on?
Well, you said it. I mean, they're not concerned. And you asked the question, when were they? The government's never been concerned. Never been concerned about Appalachians. It's never been concerned about people crossing the border. It's never been concerned about blacks. It's never been concerned about Indians. It's never been concerned. The only time that the people think that it is because the media thinks or tells them that the government's passing some new laws, but those laws wouldn't have been passed except for strikes or riots.
You mentioned the word media, propaganda, leaflets, massaging the mind, you know, misdirection.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So the government's never been concerned. The government is nothing more than a cesspool collection of people who are power-hungry and corrupt. And if you're not power-hungry and corrupt when you get there, you're going to, most likely, you're going to turn into one of these, I can't curse on you, one of these things, because you don't want to lose your job. And now that you're there, maybe you came from humble beginnings, or maybe you came from an Ivy League college, but now you're a senator, and people are hanging on to your every breath. Every time you fart, they want to say,
well,
oh, yes.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I just read an article a week ago, and it outlines the amount of senators, congressmen, and assemblymen that had bad credit, that had been arrested for DUI, that had been arrested for domestic violence, and all kind of abuse charges. But these are the people that's making decisions for us.
If you can ever find that article again, I'd be appreciative, because I did a show on corruption two nights ago. And I read all statistics, like 53 senators. I named names who were involved in sex scandals.
Shoot me an email, and I'll find it and send it to you.
Mm.
Hold on. You know, Joe ain't having it.
I told him to send me an email. I didn't say it to his email. I told him to email me with it.
Lamont@worldmovement.com. Lamont@worldmovement.com. You know what I'm saying?
I'll respond to you and get it to you.
Thanks, but that means you have my email.
Oh, man, shut the hell up. Shit. Hey, Tony, this is when I get to tell Joe, look, you're talking to stars. You're just an assistant star.
I don't care. I'm still a star. I'm still a star.
Paranoia grows daily, my brother.
You got that. Nobody knows. I have nothing on Facebook, nothing on MySpace, anything.
All I can say, Igloo Joe, if you decide you want it, that's what you need to do. You know, that's up to you. We'll leave it to you.
Okay. You know what the answer is? Thank you.
You got
it. No, thank you.
Not a problem.
You know, I'll wait till you get it, Diddy, because nobody's getting my email, nobody's getting my phone number. And you know why? Because I know the New World Order's coming. The New World Order's are probably already here. The cops, the cops have already done, I can't call it research, that's too benign. They've already been looking at people's friends, and maybe even hacking into people's through people's passwords to get a look at Facebook and my MySpace and stuff. They're looking for political dissidents. They're looking for them now. They weren't looking for them like a year ago, but they're looking for them now. I have an idea of what's coming, and I'm not going to be on anybody's radar.
You got a Social Security number?
No.
Okay, good. Because other than that, I didn't want to have to give you the bad news.
Yeah, well, they're not going to, they find me, then, you know, I'll fight to the death.
Here's what we need you to do, because sometimes we need to contact you, and you need to contact us. Just go set up a random email. Don't even put your right information. Just put Oscar the Gosh as the name and send them out of emails, because sometimes I want to appear on your show because you keep having these shows. And we haven't made a guest appearance. We got a political point of view. We got thoughts we want to get out there to you, sir.
Well, like I said, I'm Ava Indiana. You put that in the... she's on now, as a matter of fact. She's giving a tribute to the soldiers. This poor woman gives every Sunday. She plays taps for every soldier that's been killed. She got 43 taps to play today. And we have a show every Saturday... every Wednesday, and all you got to do is put us in the search engine, Ava Indiana. You'll see us. She has shit. Even if I'm not there, you can always go to her show. But I'll be there most of the time, and I'll be welcoming your political points of view. But, I got to let you guys know, though, okay? On her show, she'll let anybody on, no problem. On my show, and I run it, people got to pass a two-part IQ test. Doesn't matter if I know them or not. They got to pass it or they don't get on.
Oh, shit, Tony. I don't know what that means with you.
It's easy. I give people time to find the answers. So far, nobody's got the answers right.
So far, ain't nobody been on your show but you, huh?
That's it. Exactly. I had a girl that, she and I have been on various shows before. And she wants to give me an argument about why I should have this on as an entrance requirement. And I told her, look, I'm tired of talking to freaking idiots. Everybody goes on all these shows and they jibber jabber for months about the same topic over and over again, and they don't come to any type of meeting of the minds. On my show, I got to know. You have to know logic. You have to have a basis for what you believe. Otherwise, you don't get on my show.
Okay. And once again, that's what we're about on this show, is to get the dialogue going pertaining, because it started off as a discussion of dating and relationships and all that good stuff, which are very important topics.
They truly are
because at the end of the day, if a man is not happy in his home, he cannot be anything but frustrated outside the home, whereas you're not thinking clearly to make the right decisions you need to make for yourself. Because at the root of most of us, some men will deny it, others won't. But we've grown on this show. At the root of all of us is pussy. It's something we came out of. It's for something we dedicate a great deal of time to in life until we get to a certain point where we expand the scope of our thought. And that's what we're promoting, is to expand our mind beyond pussy and dick and really open our minds as to what's going on. There's a lot of things going on around us, and it's just like we're like these just logs. We're just logs, man, just sitting on the side of the road or in the back of the forest somewhere with some of the shit that we've let go. And that's what's kind of lit my fuse of late, while I've been hammering away at these political discussions and to talk about the things that are occurring and to use this podium in this moment as we have it to talk about something, to put a vibe out there so people have a understanding that it ain't all motherfucking Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Mm-mm.
We are being sent down a river of shit, man.
Exactly. People don't understand that. Even those who have the shows on Block Talk, these conservative shows, these liberal shows, these Democratic shows, these Republican shows, they don't understand.
Because they're locked into ideology. They're locked into, blinded, matter of fact, screw locked. They are blinded by ideology. You understand what I'm saying? One of my big concerns, and I'm going to want to put it out there again, is our political system is too tied to Wall Street. It was never meant to be tied to Wall Street, and now suddenly not only are we tied, Wall Street has locked her proverbial legs around us and squeezing the life out of us, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wall Street, not Wall Street runs the world, but it's pretty close. The person who was in charge of the World Bank came from Goldman Sachs. The person in charge of IMF, I think he came from Goldman Sachs.
Where did Bernanke come from?
Who?
The one before him. They came out of the financial system, too.
Yeah. The heads of the CIA came out of
Bernanke?
Wall Street.
What was the one before Bernanke? He was the chairman of something.
Oh, Bernanke? Yeah, Bernanke was, either New York or San Francisco Federal Reserve, sure, just like, and Geithner, the Secretary Treasury Secretary. He came from, New York Fed, and Panetta, head of the CIA now, I think he came from Wall Street. So, and the advisors of Obama, Sumner, he came from either Goldman Sachs or some other investment banker on Wall Street.
Now, there's one other guy, and I think I might be getting mixed up. Paul with the barley spot on top that wears the glasses.
Paulson's the guy that got us in
all
this trouble. Paulson's the guy you're thinking of. Yeah, tall, 6'7",
and
bald.
He was what?
He came from Goldman Sachs.
There you go. One of the main institutions responsible for the debacle that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So like I said, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to light a fire, you know, because another thing that moved me personally is when I saw the tens of thousands of people that listened to my show, I didn't know. And I want to ensure that we're putting something out there to provoke a thought, to provoke something to understand that, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
you got to do something. And sometimes it starts off with dialect, conversation, hearing something, because sometimes that's how I'm moved. I hear something that moves me. I'm like, yeah, that's some bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Politics is here. Politics is a part of your show, because as a player, you know, can a player play? Well, how can a player play if he's going to pay money to a girl that he's dating for 3 months, and then after they break up, he might have to pay her emotional distress money.
And that's the truth. That's the truth, Joe. Mm-hmm. So you got to play. This is the game of life.
Yeah.
This is the game of life we're trying to play up on this show. We're trying to reach out and touch a few folks' life, man. Look, welcome to the show. I see a couple more numbers have jumped in. You know, we're glad to have you kind of play a play. 646-929-2870. You can press the number 1 if you want to jump in and join the conversation. Today we're talking about the blame game. Now, we started off the conversation about segregation in our schools, if it's a good or a bad thing. Then we got to discussing losing our identity. Then we got into politics a little bit. And now I want to discuss the fact that they our young people who really, once you cross your 30s, and I'm not, because I'm over my 30s when I say this, once you cross into your 30s, 40s, and 50s, your selfishness level theoretically should go down a little bit, and your concern should be for the future generations of our country, our bloodline, our children's children. We want to lay a good foundation for them. 1 out of 5 of all children are now living in poverty.
Poverty, right. Mm-hmm.
In minority communities, it's actually 1 out of 4. Our young people have a very fatalistic view of the future. Some of them, including when I was growing up, you know, due to the neighborhoods we grow up in, the hopelessness is to the point where some people don't even see themselves becoming 25 years old. We are in the United States of America, people. Now, in other countries that are war-torn and their bombs dropping on a child's head on a daily basis, you can understand that point of view, and our hearts go out to them. But in this country, which is supposedly the beacon of the entire planet, it is a shame and utter disgrace that 1 out of every 5 child lives in poverty, and 1 out of every 4 in most minority communities is living in poverty. And 42% of the nation's families are in poverty or living below whatever the statistical figure of poverty is.
A lot of these people are devoid of pride, bro, because I told you they don't know where they come from. You know, because if they had pride and knew where they come from, they know that they would realize that they are a strong people, a proud people, you know, and they'd have a whole different attitude. They wouldn't be so easy to be swayed or succumb to these defeatist attitudes and selfish ways of thinking, you know, me, 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 forget the next person, but the next person, you try to take them out to get what they got, you end up taking yourself out, you know. To me, they just devoid of pride, man. They have no pride in nothing.
Now, the question is, even though they're devoid of pride, what pride do they have to stand on when there is a systematic social failure around them? How can they have pride if what they've grown up and seen and known is nothingness?
Well, I don't think that really have any direct bearing. It shouldn't have any direct bearing on you having pride in yourself. You know, you can't control any and everything else around you, but you can control what you do and don't do.
All right, and I'm going to play devil's advocate now. What control do you feel you have when you look around you in a sea of nothingness? If what is taught to you since you are sucking on the breast is nothingness, where would this self-worth come from?
Well, I know if I seen a whole bunch of people running off a cliff and I personally didn't want to run off that cliff, I wouldn't go. I'd find another way. I'd find another direction. I guess for me, I've never been that guy that just did everything that everybody else did, even though things started looking really bad, like it was no way out. You know, I just didn't do what everybody else did.
Okay. All right.
So the prime example. There's a whole lot of people come from single family homes, no education. Some kids had no parents and were stuck with their younger brothers that they had to take care of and find a way to support. They did stuff, man, and those people grew up to be some of the most powerful, strong, dedicated people that they are. And they came from nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine being a teenager with no parent, with little kids that you had to support or take care of and look out for, and you had little or no education yourself? Can you imagine how hopeless that would look?
Yeah, but what you're saying, Diddy, is the exception makes the rule. I don't think people who are born into poverty have to necessarily embrace that poverty. But if their parents... Yeah, but if their parents aren't teaching those kids, and it, you know, it could teach them ancestry, or it could teach them, you are a child. You can say you're a child of God. I'm an agnostic, so you can just say, you know, you are a child who is born in on this planet. Consequently, you have all the rights as everybody else, and I'm not going to let anybody take your pride or your dignity away from you, my son, my daughter. Therefore, the kid knows that he's be protected. It comes down to parental influence. But most people, if they're born in poverty, and as you also said, if they don't have a good education, you have to be realistic. In this culture, it's get a job. If the culture was different, if it was redirected towards get yourself a business, then you could start off by buying a delicatessen, buying a liquor store, buying a discount store, working up from there. You don't even have to go to college. But people do not get the right direction. And you're not going to get it in school. And if the parents aren't doing it, the kid, 90% of most kids are going to grow up, if they've been in the kind of poverty that you're talking about, are going to stay in that type of poverty if they don't get a good education. And it's not that education makes them smart. But when you go through all the trials and tribulations of every day, got to go to freaking class, listen to a boring professor, come home, do the homework, do the research paper, and then after 4 years, you finally get that diploma, you feel pretty good about the work that you put in, because you achieved. But for those who haven't achieved.
But what about the ones that have achieved and they still unemployed today? How they feel right about now?
And they got pride, so that's a good question. Right?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's an old slang I learned in the streets. Words and conversation don't feed nobody around here. So we can sit up and talk about pride. It don't make no sense to have pride if there is no opportunity. And at the basis of opportunity is the chance to educate ourselves. And if we're systematically letting teachers go and taking money out of school budgets and sending inferior substitute teachers and stuff of that nature to educate the masses, because this is not only a problem now in the urban setting, because, you know, when things, let's be on some real stuff, when things happen in urban neighborhoods, or the hood as we like to call it, if it don't affect suburbia, nobody gives a damn. But in today's economy, when everybody, no matter their wealth level, is feeling a little bit of a pinch, it has worked its way up the food chain.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's a national problem. You know, the Detroit school district is bankrupt. An entire school district, man.
Mm-hmm.
Bankrupt. Not to mention countless others in California and other states. We are robbing our children at the chance of a future, and then somebody to sit up and say, oh, well, we cannot increase. That's why I respect Mr. Warren Buffett, even though I think he can do more. He came out and said the truth the other day. There's no way the super rich and the rich should not get taxed, and everything that we're doing is taking away from the have-nots. A couple of years ago, he came out and said again, he pays less taxes than his secretary. How can this appeal to anybody with a sense of logic, with good common friggin' sense?
Well, he can afford to say that kind of stuff. He's got a foundation that redirects his money so that he pays less than his secretary. He
but
can sound
everybody,
off.
Everybody else that's not worrying about their families that's making decisions for us are in that same position. That's the issue.
Yeah, Tony, because you said we. It's not we, it's them. They in Congress. They make decisions for whites, for blacks, for Asians. And they don't give up.
And who keeps sending these idiots up there? Who keeps sending these idiots up there?
Well,
when I watch these programs, like, you know, there's one of the sweetest old ladies I know. She's in her 90s. And her source, her God, is the television. And if the television tells her that the sky is yellow, this is what this sweet old lady believes, and works herself up into a huff and puff when we're pounded with advertisements and stuff. And, you know, a lie can be told so many times that it becomes the truth in somebody's mind. And so we're pounded with all these images and these opinions, but at the basis of all of it are special interest groups and everything else to benefit. We're sending these idiots up there. And like you said, even when we send somebody up there with the best of intent, they either assimilate or they get isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And let's
right.
be realistic. One person doesn't make a difference up on that hill. Not even one president. One vice president. No one person. Because all you got to do is 30 people vote for it and you vote against it. It doesn't matter. The 30 overrules you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the reason why, to answer your question, why we send those idiots up there is because 99% of all Americans, regardless of their IQ, their intelligence level, their degrees, and their careers, even nuclear physicists are assholes. I mean, they don't know the difference between a Democrat and a Republican. They can tell you how to split an atom, but they don't know the difference between a Democrat and a Republican. And they fall into the same trap as everybody else. We're idiots. The Americans keep, and this is the disease that I've talked about. People don't like Congress. People think the Congress people are crooks. But what they do is they say, well, that guy over there, the Idaho senator, he's a shithead. But my guy, My guy's great. I get newsletters from him or her. They talk about how they save some programs for the kind of programs I like. This guy's great. So that's why everybody keeps the, there's a 96% re-election rate for the incumbents, because everybody keeps voting in their same jerk-off. Even though they hate everybody else, they keep voting in the same piece of crap. So, I just say America is full of shit. It's full of stupid people, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, they walking around with blinders on for sure.
Mm-hmm. And people don't know how to, you know, if, and that's the thing about, see, I don't blame people for being brainwashed. I mean, I was brainwashed, everybody's brainwashed until they actually do some research or come across something which wakes them up, and then they do the research and they find out. And it takes a while, it takes a long time, because at the bottom of the research, you now have to decide whether or not the government that you're supposed to really care about, which is supposed to reflect the flag, are they corrupt enough to actually sell America down the river? The answer is yes. And I'm not just blowing smoke up.
It's a proven fact.
Yeah.
It's a proven fact. The other day, this guy, Ed, he's on MSNBC, Ed whatever his name is.
Because,
you know, I listen to everybody. Fox, I go through all the shows. He went to this place that's called the Tractor Graveyard. They had thousands of those big commercial trailers that we used to ship stuff on, containers, that contained products that came into the United States that were supposed to be filled with products from us to ship back out. And they're sitting there, been sitting there for years. We have been sold a bill of bullshit. We are slowly dying out creativity and inventiveness and ingenuity, because that's what drives any country, is the brain thrust. And at the base of that brain thrust are the children and the future leaders and the ones who should have came out of our generation. Now, I may not wholeheartedly agree with Joe that we're all idiots, but yes, there's a certain measure of idiocy going on, because I personally feel that it's been systematic. It's been systematically done. First, it started off on a racial tip, but it has grown far beyond that scope now. It's basically damning us. So if they take away enough from us so that we don't grow and we don't innovate and we don't invent and we don't create and we don't bring new things forward, what are we going to do?
Well, the trick
is all of us, because as goes the minorities, as goes the majority, as goes us, the Titanic is blasting, sinking. Sweet, I'll see you in the chat room. She says, let's use our creativity to get things popping. And she said, we need to change our mindset. We need to get on the bandwagon of getting rich. There's enough creativity to go around. Of course. They have lulled our drive. There was a time when people had a drive that, I'm going to get ahead, I'm going to do something, be something, and if I don't, my child is going to be something. We have lost all that because we have developed this, I'm going to say it's a byproduct of a capitalist way of thinking. It's the me, myself, and I syndrome. Me, 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 me. Oh, wow. Man, we've been going at it on the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're down to the last 90 seconds of the show. We're going to have to come back and do this again next week. Please join us.
Or you can visit me.
Okay, where can we visit you, Joe?
Ava, Indiana. Put in the search engine for BTR, and up will pop the shows, and there I am.
And of course,
Ava, Indiana.
We're going to check Joe out. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to become a part of our growing movement, check us brothers at www.worldmovement.com. Music, publishing, getting into movies, a little bit of everything. We're trying to grow our brand. Support the movement. Get a copy of the new book, Who Is She and What Is She to You? And we got new books coming to you real soon. We love you. Google us.
Hey, hey.
That's how we roll.
Yeah.
Robbie V.
Yeah. We're looking for you, God. What's happening? Is it you? I hope so. Let's go.
A good man's hard to find. That's one of y'all favorite lines. But finding wifey ain't no easier. What am I supposed to do? Shawty got me so confused. I'm second guessing what I see in her. Play.